Welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, CEO and founder of Leap to Your Success. That's leaptoyoursuccess.com. We help entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs grow their business, become unstoppable high achievers in their careers and life, gaining that 1% edge. We believe every professional has the power within them to leap to their greatest success that not only will impact their life, but the lives of the people they touch. So stick around to the end of the show and we will share with you how you can be our next guest. So stick around for those 15 to 20 minutes and let's be unstoppable. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. I am your host, Jacqueline Stominger. On this podcast, we hear from amazing leaders and their game-changing insights and how their insights can propel great leaders to become even better leaders and to help those who may not be the best in their game to reach the top of their game. And today, I want to welcome you. I'm so excited to have him on. I have read one of his books, Jeff West. He is an acclaimed author of business parables such as The Unexpected Tour Guide, Said the Lady with the Blue Hair, I got to read that, Streetwise to Saleswise, which I have and absolutely love. He co-authored that with Bob Berg, and he has turned storytelling into a tool for professional and personal growth. And these works have collectively earned 5 distinguished awards, and much to Jeff's delight, and perhaps maybe to the amazement of his former college English professors, it's quite funny. Anyway, you, Jeff, welcome to the show. You've got over 150 million in recurring revenue in sales from your insurance business, correct? And correct. You have a background in music. You live in Texas. So, welcome to the show. And I can't wait to talk about this and hear more about you where these come from.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. It is an honor to join you today. You're just a bubble full of joy, and I love this. So thank you for having me on.
So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about your history, in sales. Of, streetwise to saleswise. And so where did this book come from?
Oh, such a great question. Bob Berg, as you mentioned, has been a friend of mine for 20 plus years. And I had already written 2 parables. I had actually won the first 4 awards at that point. Streetwise is actually now won 2 more. So it's growing as we speak. But Bob and I were always discussing sales things, he was about to put a post out on LinkedIn and he was getting my opinion about how he was wording a couple of things. And at the end of his email, this was around the end of 22. At the end of his email, he wrote, "By the way, keep this because when we do our parable, this will be great material." Now, I had published 2 parables at that point, and Bob and I had never discussed it, even though we were great friends. And so I answered his question. And then I at the very end of my reply, I said, "Oh, and by the way, if you're serious, oh yeah, we're doing this book." And so we did. And we basically, Bob has some great material on becoming objection proof. And it's the best people skills you could ever use while you're working with a client's objection. And you come out the other end building what I call a fusion point, a way that the bond is so good. And it's because of how you worked with them instead of trying to argue with them or debate them. And so we took Bob's material there. We took my sales training material as well on fusion points. My background is 30 plus years in sales and sales management, the majority of that being in the insurance industry. I was actually a state manager for a Fortune 500 insurance carrier. And it was one of those positions you work your way up from the field up. But anyway, so we took all of that material and we decided to write the parable. And anytime I start writing a book, I'm always the lead writer, and I'll come up with a story because I love writing fiction. And then we'll teach the lessons of whoever I'm working with at the time. I said the lady with the blue hair, I did with Lisa Wilbur, and she's Avon's fifth highest producer in history. The woman is just as sweet as she can be and amazing. And she's built a team of thousands of salespeople. And so that's what that one was about. But on Streetwise to Saleswise, my wife and I were sitting in New Orleans. This was New Year's Eve going from 22 to 23. And we're sitting there at having dinner, a little balcony restaurant, looking over the Fred J. Cassabury Park. And we're about to leave. And the waitress came out. She says, "Oh, you guys are going to love this." And I said, "What?" She said, "Look," she pointed down at the street, and there was a young street busker getting ready to sing. She was setting up her equipment to sing. And she said, "She's the best I've seen yet." And so my wife and I sat there another hour drinking wine and just enjoying the day. And the entire storyline came to me for Streetwise because I've got a musical background. I love New Orleans. I've never lived there, but I've
chills listening to this.
And I sat there with my wife when we were ready to go. I said, "The entire plot, the entire story arc just came to me for Streetwise, and I know exactly what I'm going to do with it."
Oh my God, that's amazing. So, listeners, you have to understand, this book is, you know, as Jeff is sharing, you know, this book is a great story. It's kind of a love story in an interesting way. I mean, there's such great passion in it. And when you read it, my first take with it was actually listening to it. And it was one of those books that I didn't want to get out of the car because I didn't want to stop. I wanted to keep listening. I'm like, God, my drive is too short. Damn it. Right. Because I wanted to know what was happening next. And yet it's also filled with just amazing, you know, tips. And so, you know, going back to those, like those tips, you know, and actually I'm going to, before I even get into that question, storytelling, and we hear this a lot. So how does storytelling in your eyes really enhance learning and retention in training and in sales? Like, where does storytelling come in?
That is such a great question. You know, and part of the sales training and the coaching that I do outside of writing, I teach a concept called fusion points. And it's basically this. Our brains tend to work exactly the same way when we're making decisions. And decisions are a combination of logic and emotion. When it's a positive emotion that's happening, it shoots a somatic marker down into our body. It makes us feel good. We like it, and we want to continue the process. So whether you're asking for a prospect to take the next step and become like a client, or you're trying to work with a team member and getting them to be more successful, when you can combine that positive emotional experience with the logic that the brain's going to do anyway, those are going to connect, and that's going to produce the decision. What happens is it creates what I call a fusion point. And at that moment, it creates a bond, it creates loyalty, it creates acceleration. So what happens, and the reason I write business parables primarily, although I am working on a novel right now too, but the reason I write business parables is because of that principle. Because if I can write a story that a reader will fall in love with the story and the kind of experience that they would say, "Oh, I would have wanted to read that even if I didn't learn anything." And then combine that with the logic, got some really good, solid leadership or sales training, or in the new one I'm doing with Bill Cates, financial management training. If I can do that, then it sticks. It creates that fusion point about the material. And so that's why some of my favorite books are like The Go-Giver, written by John David Mann and Bob Berg, or Ogmandino's books like The Greatest Salesman in the World. It teaches good, solid principles. It's always been my favorite way to learn, and I never knew why until I studied how people make those decisions.
You know, not that I want to go back to sixth grade, but I'm going to go back to sixth grade for a minute here.
That means I'm going to sit behind you and pull your hair.
We're going to write notes to each other, right?
Exactly.
So No, but what I'm thinking about, you know, is in sixth grade, seventh grade, you know, what I'm aligning storytelling with is the visual, right? It creates that visual picture. So I remember, you know, one of my both actually two science teachers, one in sixth grade, we were talking about, you know, what happened when Coke got sprayed all over something and it became sticky, and they were trying to use all these different things. And, you know, what did they end up using to take it off was, you know, good old H2O. But it was talking about the molecules. And I remember these two pictures. It's the story that went with it. You know, yes, there was these images. And as you read your business stories and, you know, these books, it creates this beautiful picture in your mind, and you think about them. So, like, you know, it's really, really great. So
Thank you.
you're welcome. So, you know, in the book, and you just kind of mentioned this a little bit too, you talk about being objection proof. And, you know, describe objection proof and how not just sales professionals, but people, leaders can apply that to navigate, you know, the world basically today as we know
That's such an appropriate question at this day and time, isn't it?
it. Yeah.
Well, Bob's material on becoming objection-proof basically was using a good set of people skills to work through an issue. You know, in sales, sometimes objections seem to become the bane of a salesperson's existence. And they don't have to be, because once you learn what to do and what not to do, you can actually build a relationship in it. And the first thing that we teach in the book, the first step, is don't try to overcome the objection. The truth is, an objection, quite frankly, is very much like someone's opinion. And you don't have to look much further than our political process to know how much people just absolutely love it when you try to overcome their opinion. And so, so we say, don't try to overcome the opinion. Don't try to debate it. Instead, work with that opinion. Work with the objection that you're getting at the time. We also teach to handle common objections, of course, before they come up in the sales presentation, or we call it a sales conversation, because if it comes up, if you bring up certain things that you know are kind of baked into what you do anyway, if you bring it up then, and along with the solution, it's education. But if they do it later, it becomes an objection and you have to handle it differently. But anyway, the objection-proof process basically is just a simple six-step process, but I work it into a story and we handle it in the story role. But it's first off, number one, controlling your own emotions.
That's
What an
huge.
objection does inside us as a salesperson, you know, I talked about fusion points being the combination of positive emotion and logic, and it makes us feel good. Well, an objection sets up what I refer to as a collision point. It's a negative emotion and logic connecting, and it makes you push back. You don't like the way that feels. And so when a salesperson, especially a newbie, gets an objection, it sets off an uncomfortable feeling inside of them. And if they don't control the fact that they can't respond to that feeling, they'll react and they'll push or they'll argue or they'll debate, and it turns the other person off. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So the
Right.
first step is to basically control your emotions. But then the second part is just ask the right questions so you get their perspective, and just say that, you mind if I ask you a couple of questions? Because I really want to understand your perspective on this. And then ask serious questions because you want to understand, not because you want to overcome the objection, but because you want to understand. That sets off a big positive emotional response in them because they are not being pushed like a lot of salespeople are.
You know,
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say just, but that asking the question, I think that's, I just kind of wanted to jump in there because so many times, you know, somebody gives an objection, and a lot of people either don't respond, and they just take it, or it could be something that they say, "Why on earth do you think that way?" Like. And not the right question, but you know, maybe asking the question, interesting perspective. Can you tell me more?
Yeah. Help me see it from your
Right.
vision. Help me see it from your perspective.
Right.
And once you've done that and you listen, then you get the opportunity to reframe what what they say. Right. You'll never get that opportunity if you don't understand it and let them verbalize it with you. And so when you're doing that, from a great example of what I call about reframing is we all see the world through our own frame. It's our experiences make up the border around that frame, and that's what we see. Mm-hmm. So everybody has that. But if you'll move your head slightly to one direction, then it changes the perspective and you can see it from a different angle. So once you've gotten their perspective, you say, well, you know, you empathize with it and you say, you know, I can see how that would be something you'd want to consider. That makes perfect sense to me that that's something that we should talk through, because that empathy is not what they're expecting. Right. They're expecting a salesperson to push. And when you do, so that makes perfect sense as you might think that. And then say, do you mind if I shed a little different perspective on it? They'll be open to you doing that. And that's when you give the solution. And then you can move forward with providing their value proposition. And right. a value proposition to me has absolutely nothing to do with your product or your service or your company. It has nothing to do with how great you are as a salesperson, even though I know everybody in your audience is wonderful. It has everything to do with how that prospect's life gets better when they begin a relationship with you. In essence, it's really their value from your proposition. Yeah. So if you're focused in that direction, once you get to the point where you can reframe it, you give a little social proof. Other clients that have thought the same thing. It's basically a social proof version of the feel, felt, found thing that's in traditional training. And then you can ask the simplest closing question I've ever known in my life is the one I always use. And it was because people naturally really would prefer to say no to salespeople. My closing question after doing all of that would say, well, let me ask you a question. And if you want to say no, please feel completely welcome to do so. Do you see any reason we shouldn't move forward? Well, no. Here we go.
I love it. You know, and you know, that comes up to a couple of things that, you know, that are coming, that come to my mind about, you know, about sales and leadership in particular, which is really helping people see how it is going to help them. So absolutely. As a leader, and listeners, this is a huge insight. Like, really think about this. You know, the people on your team, the people that your clients, the people that you're selling to, if you can make them feel really good, maybe if you're leading a team and you have this great brand new vision about how the team should operate, you need to sell it to them, but you need to get not just their buy-in, you have to let them see how it's going to help them. If I know, for example, that Jeff wants to grow into X position, I could say, hey, Jeff, this position, this, what we are doing is going, the goal is to help not the team, but we want to help you get here, right? So
absolutely.
Like, see how it can help the other person, you know, and I say your clients, because your employees or your team members, as I call them, that's client number one. Client number two are actually your clients. You know,
absolutely.
Team members come first. So, you know, we talked a little bit about fusion points, and I totally understand that. But you talk about in the book there. I'm going to add an extra step, but you say three steps, and then I'm making them four because I try right. to. I actually do things in twos. So it's divisible by two in my brain. I talk about two steps to yes. But you talk about, can you share that three step plus one process? Because sure. I think there's something about that for me hits home really, really key, but I'll share that after you discuss it.
Well, thank you. The basic premise in a sales organization, when you're making those prospecting contacts, whatever the industry, and it's going, of course, the way you do it's a little different based on your business model, but you're going to get one of three when it's basically a cold call or the first contact. You're going to get one of three responses. You'll get one group of people who they consider a contact from a salesperson that wasn't expected an annoyance. And so they have a collision point, their negative emotional response hits them and it combines with logic, and they don't give you the time of day. And sometimes they may not even be nice. You got a second group where it is a positive for them. They actually know they have a need. They know it may be your brand or your company. So they see when you reach out, they see it as a positive thing. They actually have a fusion point just because you made contact. And those are the easiest ones to get an appointment with. And then you got a third group that's really not thinking about you all at all. There's no context. There's no emotional reaction. They just haven't had any reason to think about you because you haven't given them the one yet. So what I teach people in the book is a process that I really call priming the prospecting pump, but it works on everything.
Yes.
And it's basically before you even ask for the first meeting that you make it three or four, in this case, positive emotional touches with that prospect before you ever ask for the first meeting. And it can vary based on your industry. Things I often suggest is in a business to business context, maybe you find some sort of positive press about the company or the person. You find a great Yelp review or whatever. You print the thing off. You handwrite, because people don't do that much anymore. You handwrite a little note saying, I saw this. I want to make sure you saw it too. I thought it was great press for you and your company. Good job. And then add two sentences at the end. I would like to meet you soon. Please expect my call. And that's one way to do it. You can print off a picture of them on social media with their family and say, hey, I just saw this. You got a cool looking outing that you did with your family. Send that to them. Lisa Wilbur, my co-author on Said the Lady with the Blue Hair, sends out send-out cards. And she does the same process, but she's sending out actual cards from a company. She puts in the picture, she types in the message, and it goes out for that. She sent literally over 20,000 cards over the last few years. But the reason you do that is because the percentages of people that will say yes when you request that first meeting go up if they have had positive touches, even if they don't know you. And so when you do this, what it amounts to is you give them a positive emotional touch three times or four. And with each of them, you say, hey, I'd like to meet you soon. Please expect my call. Then you follow that up with your call and your request for that first visit. Well, when you do that, it does a couple of things. It makes them more likely to say yes to the visit. But the other thing it does is it gives you the ability when you're visiting with the administrative assistant, who's basically oftentimes in charge of protecting the person's time that you're trying to see. It's very easy and true to say they very well may be expecting my call. They're likely expecting my call, something of like that.
Well, you've also told them that they're expecting your call.
Exactly.
So you've primed that pump.
Yes.
Sometimes the words just went right out of my brain. When you're telling people what to do, like you've told them you're going to expect my call.
Right.
You've told them.
And each time you do it, it just makes that little positive emotional connection. And it's sitting there waiting on you to connect it with the logic of why you want to do it. And then to make it even a little bit stronger, when you ask for that first meeting, make sure the verbiage you use is about their value from your proposition. Don't ask for that meeting to explain your company and what you do and all that. Ask for that meeting to see if they can explore, if they can take advantage of whatever that you're going to do that's going to make their world better. Maybe you're going to put them in the home of their dreams or help them get out, you know, like with a realtor. I use this as an example when I'm doing seminars. I'm much more likely to give my time to someone who says, you know, I'd like to help you use that equity in your home in a big city in a higher crime area to get out in a smaller community where the crime's lower, the pace of life is better, and I think you'll enjoy that better. I'm more likely to give that person my time than someone who says, I'm a great realtor with a great company and I can sell your home for you. Because one connected with a positive emotional response because they talked about my value from their proposition.
Right.
And so when I'm teaching the seminars, I'll teach that. I'll teach getting introductions, because those three things, priming the pump and doing that, it makes a huge difference in the percentage it'll say yes to you.
Yeah. You know, and I love that. And there's, you know, in the book, you actually talk about, you know, it's and you share, you know, and what you just said, it's like sending something in the mail,
right?
Sending a card. And I'm going to share, it's also this. Do you understand what this is? It's a phone. Do you understand? And oh, and by the way, the phone goes up to the ear, or this way, if you want to speak to it this way, because you don't want whatever. But use it. Use it for the phone. I cannot begin to tell people enough how many times when you send something and you say something, people get the emotion so much more those two ways than just a quick short text or an email.
Right.
I mean, send the email, send some of that information, but the when people hear your voice and the excitement in your voice, oh, it's like powerful.
Well, you know, Jeffrey Gittimer is one of a great sales trainer from decades ago,
decades ago.
And he had an article in Selling Power magazine one time, and I've got to visit with Jeff about this since. His article was talking about the more of the five senses you can involve in the sales process, the higher your percentage of chance of growing the sale or closing the sale are going to be. And so I utilize that in my sales. But it's the same reason. If I want to learn material really solidly, I'll get the audiobook like you did. I'll have the physical book too, and I'll go through the audiobook and the physical book at the same time, and I'm making notes as I go through. It just cements the lesson so much more solidly.
Yeah, it does. And I it's funny. That's why I actually went and got the printed version, because I do that on the books that I love. So you know, you've had an amazing career. And so, you know, 30 years, you know, leading teams, you know, you shared some amazing insights, but is there one key lesson that you've learned that you think is super crucial for developing those high performing sales teams?
Absolutely. And you touched on it a bit ago. It's about creating that culture, creating that environment, creating that connection with your team that is personal. It's one-on-one, in addition to what you do in a group setting or in a massive setting. But it touches them personally, and you're combining that with the logic of what you're doing. I was in field sales management with a Fortune 500 insurance carrier for 20 years. I started off as a district manager. It was decent, but then I actually read Bob Berg's book, The Endless Referrals, and it catapulted my career. But then I was a regional manager for 2 years, but I was a state manager for that company for 10 years here in Texas. And I had a team of hundreds of agents. They were all independent contractors, that none of them were my employees. And I would do things to connect with them. Like we would have big meetings where I would give awards and all that, but I would invite their spouses and we'd have hundreds of people in the room. And during that time, at some point, I was going to see every single one of them. I was going to touch them. I was going to shake their hand, put my hand on their shoulder, say, I'm so glad you're here. So nice to meet your spouse. And I would call them by name. And I would do those things. And then with my managers that reported directly to me, the regional managers, I would take 20% of my bonus every year and I would spend it taking them, or my wife and I did this because we're a couple, actually. We would host them on a trip that for them and their spouses. We took them to the Virgin Islands one year. We spent a week at the Bitter End Yacht Club in Tortola.
And oh, so, I missed that.
Well, basically the result of that is there was so much camaraderie and so much loyalty. Now I've been gone from that industry now 11 years. I still see a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
And the state manager that's there now is an awesome guy. He's doing a great job. He said, you've been gone. I think we were playing golf about 2 years ago. He said, you've been gone 9 years. Your people still love you. It's that kind of connection that grows an organization. It creates a fusion point for inside your organization. Yeah. And like you said earlier, it's not just about sales. Yes, you need to create those fusion points in sales, and priming the prospecting pump does that. But it's also about how you grow a team, how you bring someone on board, how you help equip them to be successful. It's also how you make personal relationships work. It works in so many areas of life that that's the one lesson. It's got to be that connection.
You know, and so listeners, I really want you to really take note to that, because I mean, I could go through countless stories and I'm not going to bore you with them, but one of those things that I really think that, you know, that if we can make it where people truly love, it's not loving just what they're doing, but loving their environment and loving the company and the people. It's not about you. It's about your team. You know, I actually shared this with somebody. We were talking about this the other day about knowledge, right? The knowledge you have is great. It's great wisdom. Don't hold it. Share it. The more you can share it, the better the people will actually be attracted to you and love your team, because you are giving into them. and you're pouring into them. And so it's so important. I sometimes trajectory and about my career, what it would have been, how different it may have been if the it's a very interesting thing. So talking, you shared this and I want to, because you mentioned this, but somewhere along the way, did you play professionally in a Dixie band?
I actually did.
Tell me about that.
I have a bachelor's degree in music education and a master's degree in music composition. And by the way, those two degrees will get me a cup of coffee in Starbucks if I have $10 with me. During my master's degree, I actually played professionally in a Dixieland band here in Texas. And I doubled on string bass and tuba. And I was making at times $400 or $500 a week cash. And this, I'm much older than you. This was in the early 80s. And that was a lot of money for a college kid. And, but we played up in the East Coast. We played in the Texas Oil Marketers Convention. We played in a lot of places. And so music, and especially Dixieland music, is near and dear to my heart. And as I say, why wouldn't it be? Everybody loves the tuba player.
So going back to that, though, how do you think music has played a role in your sales and leadership?
If I were to, I guess the best way I could say that is it probably plays more of a role in two ways. Number one, to get a degree in music is a difficult degree to get because you are, there will be times I'd be taking 13 classes in one semester. Some of them were 1 hour courses because they were ensembles, and yet I had to take them because I had to get the degree. And so that it's a huge workload. And I did that in 4 years, and I did my master's in one, pulling all nighters, working on my stuff. All right. But anyway, so I think it helped me develop that ability to stick with something. But the other side of it is the creativity side, because one of the things I've done in a leadership role in sales is utilized stories, be creative with what I did as far as how to make the lesson stick. And it's exactly what's it's elevated me in my writing. I have a wonderful writing coach. His name is John David Mann, and he is literally my hero when it comes to writing. He was the lead writer on The Go-Giver, the book he and Bob Berg did together. And he's the latte factor with David Bach. I mean, he's written 40 books and I think 9 New York Times bestsellers. Well, he's a personal friend and my writing coach.
Wow.
And it's the combination of the creativity side that I have and then studying like a madman with John. It's really elevated my writing to where I'm getting recognized at a higher level. Like I say, we just won the gold medal from the Axiom Business Book Awards on Streetwise, and that's a good one. It's not the New York Times bestseller list by any stretch, but it's some really sweet recognition.
Yeah. that's really fantastic. Okay, so you just mentioned two things, and I'm going to break them out into two different questions.
Okay.
Learning. You mentioned that you are learning, obviously, so much with John, right?
Right.
So talk about learning and how important that is in sales and leadership.
Well, I think if we stop learning, we stop growing. And if you stop growing, you're dying. And the truth is, in my sales career, I wasn't a natural at it. But I had a very great mentor. Matter of fact, I wrote him into the story of my first book, The Unexpected Tour Guide. It's a man named Jack Amberson. And he was such a great mentor to me, and as a person, and as a father, and as a sales leader. And he's the one who kind of gave me that thirst for learning. He gave me my first copy of The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. He got me on that track. He gave me, I guess it was Frank Betcher's, How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. So I had to learn what to do. And so, again, I guess getting the degrees in music, I wasn't afraid to dive in there and learn things and apply them. And so it literally took me from being probably someone who wouldn't have made it in sales to being someone that had a really nice long career and did well in sales. And the same thing when I retired from the insurance industry at 54 years old, and even though that was a nice position to be in, my wife, thank God, she supports me with this. I wanted to do something else after that. And so I decided I wanted to write, and I wanted to speak and do those things. And so I dove into the writing part in that same fervor. And I became friends with John, met him through Bob. And I remember us having lunch up in Waco, Texas. He was doing a book signing at a bookstore up there. And I went, drove up and had lunch with him. It's around the corner in Texas, but it was about 2 hours from my house.
Totally get that.
But I had lunch and just got to know him a little bit. And when he finally later put, he was coaching me a little bit anyway, and he had put a free resource on his website called How to Write Good, or at least Gooder. Love the title. But I got a lot of benefit out of that. That's where I had read that, and that's helped me on blue hair. But when he started his writing mastery mentorship course, he put some advertising about that, and he called me, and I said, okay, tell me the details about it. And I said, okay, how much is it going to cost? I said, okay, you want it in check, credit card, what? And I was his first sale. I'm the very first member of that class. And he's had tons of people in that class since then.
Oh, wow, that's
And
awesome.
I said, but I don't want to spoil you because not all your sales are going to be this easy. But he's a genius, and he writes novels too. He's got a novel series now that's actually been optioned for more than just a book. That's no more details than I can give than that.
Okay.
But he's just my hero, and he's a good man.
Oh.
And it turns out too, this is side, and we're probably going to bore your listeners here, but
No.
his father was a man named Alfred Mann. And when I was in college majoring in music in my junior year in college, I had to study 18th century counterpoint, and the textbook was his father's book. On 18th century
They,
counterpoint.
oh my God, that's so great. Okay, so learning is obviously really key, and it's again, always be learning. But you also, he's also a coach.
Right.
So talk about how coaching goes along with sales success and success in general.
That's a great question. And my answer to that is that it focuses on helping the other person get better at what they're doing. And if I can coach them to do that, I focus on their value from my proposition and helping that. And so like today we had a coaching call with a couple out of New York, and their business is they have a caregiver type business for babysitters and things of that nature. And it's a big business. They have 400 something employees.
Wow.
And we were coaching on that, and it was all about, okay, let's get to know them, what they're looking for, where we might be able to help, and then come up with ways to help them connect at a higher level with their people. So it's about focusing on what the other person needs, and then if I've got the expertise to help them get there, helping equip them to do that and get side by side with them as they make it happen. We're doing a 3-month coaching program with these folks, and
Right.
it'll be concierge access and try to help them
Right.
get these things. And they were so excited today. They were such a joy to be around anyway. They were very fun
Oh,
people. So
that's really fantastic. Jeff, I could talk to you for hours and hours because there are so many things. But so I may have to have you come back on the show. I'm going to have get another one of your books and read that. But how can the listeners connect with you, get in touch with you, get your books, all of those things?
well, thank you for asking that. The probably the most important or the easiest way is go to jeffcwest.com, and at the very top you'll see a place where you can sign up for my newsletter. I send out a newsletter on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's a combination of sales coaching, leadership coaching. Every now and then it's just behind the scenes sneak peeks at what it's like to write a book, and so hopefully it's appealing to a multitude of things. Everything, I always say everything from the entry-level salesperson to the CEO. At some point, I'm going to be coaching them on that. But also, and you'll see the button to do that right at the top, and you can find out about my books there too. But feel welcome to connect with me on places like LinkedIn or Facebook. Just look for Jeff C. West. You have to put the C in, because if you just Google Jeff West, somebody else comes up, and I'm not even going to say what the subject matter is, but it's not necessarily something you want to send your audience to. And now they're going to all go there. I shouldn't have said this. Oh, it's
All right,
I am now
we're
wishing you edit that part out, because I know where it goes.
yeah.
It's
So
Jeff
Jeff
West.
C. West, go to Jeff C. West, and I will make sure the link is proper in the show notes. So Jeff, thank you for being such an amazing guest. And listeners, please connect with him and I'm going to put a link to this book also in the show notes. So please grab this book. Trust me, you will enjoy it. Get the audio version. I'll have that, a link to the audio version as well. I would say, you know, get the digital e-version, but hold the book in your hand and listen to the audio. It really makes a difference, I think. So sorry to put my opinion on you, but I will.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. It's been an honor to be with you.
Thank you so much. This is the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. So thank you, listeners, for being amazing listeners. If you have gotten value out of this, which I'm sure you have, please do me the best favor to, in fact, one, hit subscribe, and two, share it with a friend or colleague or somebody that you know could benefit from hearing Jeff's message and for becoming an unstoppable leader. And again, I'm Jacqueline Strominger, and I thank you both. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being a great guest.
Thank you.
I'm Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you'd like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about the podcast or about Leap to Your Success? Just go to the website, leaptoyoursuccess.com, or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N, dot Strominger, S-T-R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.